Families Podcast. I'm Leonie Smith, sometimes known as the Cyber Safety Lady. I'm a cyber safety educator, and this podcast is all about learning how to use the digital technology in our homes with more safety and balance. My guest on the podcast today is Claire Orange from DigiSocial. Claire Orange has worked with children and their families in a variety of therapeutic roles and settings for over 28 years. Most recently, she has co-written and published 16, because that's a lot of books, award-winning books on children's mental health, and has launched an ed tech startup called DigiSocial. DigiSocial is a world-first safe and educational children's social media platform. DigiSocial teaches Year 5 and 6 students the skills to be safe, civil, and savvy online through fun and experiential learning. Claire is a passionate advocate for preventative measures in children's mental health and digital well-being. Claire, welcome to the Digital Families Podcast at last.
Leonie, thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your background, Claire. 28 years in children's mental health. How did you come to creating DigiSocial and getting involved in that side of things?
Yes, it's been, you know, as many of us around this age have had, a long and winding journey to where I am today. So I actually started 28 years ago as a speech pathologist, and I worked in our major paediatric teaching hospital here in Western Australia. And it's a long number of years ago, really, before technology had taken over the world. And part of that role was working across a range of services, including general population care, and then head injury, a bit of cleft lip and palate, and also working in psychiatry. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting at that point to see what were the big things in children's lives, really taking them up around, you know, social and emotional learning. And some of those factors are still in play. But really the journey for me over the last 28 years has gone from really quite liking anaesthetised children. They're much easier to work with. It's like working with other people's children. They're much nicer than working with your own as well. To then working in community and then realising the whole child and the whole family needed attention, and then over the subsequent years requalifying and working in very different ways with families. So I've worked in a number of roles in a number of organisations and my own businesses, and really now only exclusively work in children's mental health and wellbeing. And then the move into that cyber resilience and cyber emotional health of children. Really, Leonie, that's been a growing awareness in the last slightly long, but I'm going to say 5 years, where so many more of our children and our younger children are taken up with technology. You know, they're almost born with that iPad in hand, ready to go, and experiencing an enormous world, and sometimes well beyond their emotional coping resources and well beyond the, you know, the brain's capacity to regulate and understand what's out there. And that's been we've seen a real shift in children's mental health, and that's what's really brought me into solution seeking in the cyber education space, really around that digital health, safety and well-being of children.
So tell us about the platform. It sounds like it's a sort of a training wheels style educational platform rather than something that just connects children on a different level.
Yeah, it really is. It's an educational tool. So, you know, you have mathletics and reading eggs and other educational technology, and DigiSocial is educational technology. But it's really about cyber wellbeing. So we've targeted those year 5 and 6. It's such a complex time in a child's development, those between years, between being a child and between being a teenager. We're still really able to work with the child's brain and to condition them and to influence them, but they are moving into that sort of tetchy teenness that's coming. So we've put this little program in there, which is within a school, and it's got multiple education points. So we educate all the way from what we know about children and eye health. You know, spending time on screens is changing children's eye health. You know, the lengthening and shortening of the muscle that usually happens in outdoor play isn't happening as much. So we're seeing changing levels of myopia in children. So we educate from there all the way to the top end of town around inappropriate content and contact online. And it's just clever technology that while children play, they learn.
So take us through how it works. It's used by schools. So it's a package that schools take up. How do teachers implement it? What happens when they introduce it to their class?
Well, what we found in implementing DigiSocial across a number of schools in Australia and beyond is that children really don't need very much introduction to it. So it's kind of like putting a duck in water and thinking you need to teach it how to swim. Most children just know. So the tech itself was quite intuitive. It's like any sort of a social media platform. So we've gone fairly generic. You can post picture and word content. So children are able to do that, and then the technology feeds back to the child. So we're using artificial intelligence to analyse picture content. So if they put a picture up with too much skin showing or with a logo as a location identifier, the AI will feed back to the child and help them to understand that choice that they've made. If they swear, put someone down. If they're racist, use hate speech. If they post song lyrics that are inappropriate, all of that, we are able to use that incredible artificial intelligence to feed back to the child. So really, all children have to know is how to communicate with friends in a messenger-style application, which is what we've got, and then the technology does all the hard work and it's all written up against the curriculum.
So how does it work in a school, Claire? Is it something that a school introduces to all their children and they're only allowed to use it at school, or is it sort of like a lesson-based thing where the teacher then says, right, now we're going to learn about social media through DigiSocial, everybody get your iPads out and now log in and let's do a lesson on DigiSocial? How is it implemented?
Yes. So we went through an extensive independent research trial last year, and that research has told us that, you know, 5 minutes a day really is enough for a child to be learning the skills. We encourage schools to use it just like social media. We've got 10 minutes before sports begins. If you've finished everything, you can get on DigiSocial for a chat. So we encourage schools to turn off all other messaging and just put the year fives and sixes on DigiSocial as their primary in-school messaging app. So we, you know, all of the app-based chat that children can do through Google Classroom and all of those, we ask schools to turn it off. It's only available during the school day. Schools get to set the parameters. And it's the technology that delivers the learning. So our teachers in schools, Leonie, golly, in these troubling pandemic times, they now have to, you know, pivot to remote learning and provide all of that. But even in normal classroom times, it's just a remarkable amount of work and speciality for a teacher having to go across maths and English and then behaviour support and cyber education. So we really wanted this to be a complete solution for teachers, so that it's a plug and play. The learning is dispensed by the platform. There are lesson plans. Teachers can go back and teach a lesson plan, but actually it's the platform that does the education of the child. So based on the child's own interactions with their friends, our AI is going over and analysing and moderating that. It's giving a child a strike, or it's telling them how fantastic they are online. So that's doing that. And then we're launching challenges at children. So the challenge might be some clickbait pops up on everybody's screen, and it might be a picture of a shark, and it says, want to see great white shark eat legs off a man? And children go, that's, I mean, there's fairly graphic content that we can see online. The kids are going, yep, I'd like to see that. They've got to say whether they're going to give up their identifying data, which most kids will, to go off and see that or it might be around body image, you know, want to lose weight or get that body summer ready. all the stuff that we know is really influencing children's brains online, but they don't actually go to the clickbait. If they choose to go down that option, we put them into a 90-second animation about, well, what is clickbait and what are people doing when they collect and harvest your data, and what does that mean for content that you're going to be fed from now on? So it's just this gentle education, then they go back to the platform to keep watching. So we just want it to be, a plug-and-play app for schools where teachers don't have to know what you know and what I know about children's psychology and use of the internet.
So it's really teaching them digital literacy more than anything else, being discerning as well.
So it goes across, so there's digital wellbeing. We do things, so on there there's the ability, so for example, you can go into the chat zone, there's a help zone, a learning zone, a chat zone, or the message board. On the chat zone, there are, I call them chatorials, and yes, I do come up with the content myself, Leonie. So it's a tutorial about chatting. I don't know what I'm going to do about the gaming ones. I haven't come up with anything clever yet. it's quite cringy, but I like it. So these chatorials go into all of the dynamics and ethics around chatting. Like, how do you deal with a chat hog? What if you are a chat hog? What if you're in a chat with someone who's always putting you down? What if your friend's in the playground but they're really mean to you online? So we really, children can go in there, watch that content. If they watch any learning content, they get points. We call them digits. So children get digits and they get to buy more chat credits, they get to buy better avatars, they get to unlock a whole range of emojis and GIFs beyond the basics, better banners. So they're using these digits to then fuel their life on the platform. So wherever they go, there's learning for children about that. In the game zone, there's not that many games children can play to start a game. They've got to answer a question about their well-being. So we go beyond just that digital literacy. We really look at digital resilience. We look at digital well-being. We look at digital safety and digital security. So all of the learning that a child needs to do across those personal and social capabilities, across digital technologies and across protective behaviours, it's all in the platform, and it's all just automatically launched through either the child's action or the platform's interaction with the child.
So does the platform just go on the school devices, or is this something that goes on BYOD devices as well, so devices that go back into the homes?
Yeah, all devices. So it's BYOD and on the school devices. So it works across all devices. And the way the app works, so it's a web-based app, and schools get to set. So if they've got a professional learning day and they do want their students to be able to be on the platform from home, they can open that. We encourage them not to, just to keep it within the school hours or even just an hour beyond school, because on there children can ask for help. So we do a lot of training of help seeking, reporting and help seeking. You know, the two primary tools that children need to understand online is how and when to ask for help. So we do a lot of training of help seeking. And so children can ask for help, and that has to go to one of the adults in the school. So if there's a teacher goes, right, I want to leave DigiSocial every Wednesday afternoon until 5, and I'll be available on that platform to respond to any help requests, that's up to the school. They get to set the parameters of when the program is open, really just around keeping children safe.
And, of course, over here we're in lockdown, so everything's happening online anyway. Sounds like a fantastic opportunity for doing it whilst the kids are in lockdown. And you mentioned just a minute ago, Claire, about their data sharing as well. What kind of education is the platform giving children about looking at terms and conditions and understanding where their personal and private data might be going and what it's used for?
Oh, there's what we do a reasonable amount on that. You know, I think some of the things that I see, well, one of the things I was talking about at a parent workshop last night was how remarkable it is to me that there's people my age and even slightly younger who are doing all sorts of quizzes on Facebook, like, you know, which flower best describes my personality, and you click that in the game, and you get some random array that, you know, you might just make you feel great about yourself. But I think not even adults are understanding how much data we're giving up on those simple apps to play those quite nonsensical games, that actually what lies below that is a lot of data harvesting. So on DigiSocial, children have to look at their own terms and conditions on there. We update it sometimes. So we say we're going to enable a location identifier. We don't have a location identifier.
Sounds like torture, Claire. You're dangling these little juicy bits of fruit in front of them and then shutting the door.
Yeah. Clickbait, no, you can't go in there.
That's right. And they're like, Miss, why can't I see the shark? I want to see the shark. Not fair. And they're pressing the button over and over again.
Oh, that's fun. It's fabulous. But as much as we, you know, dangle stuff in front of children, my goodness, have they been able to gamify our platform for us. So we've learned as much.
You get constantly running around, you know, shutting doors and turning things off.
That's unbelievable. They're so clever. But that whole, you know, we show children what a data farm looks like. Rows and rows and rows of iPads, all busily harvesting data from around the world, and helping children to see. Because a lot of kids don't care. Like, I don't care. Who cares?
Oh, not just kids, Claire. A lot of adults don't care either. And I think. I can easily put myself in that situation, you know, using platforms that where I know that, you know, my location is being monitored. You do the best you can to switch off as much as you can. But in the end, it becomes inconvenient not to share that data. So what kind of lessons do you give kids in data sharing? And I can hear you saying you're showing them data farms and everything, but I think for a lot of kids and a lot of parents, it's what is the danger? What is the danger in having all of our data, where we live, what we buy, who we are, shared?
Yeah, and I guess we do that from a number of perspectives. So we look at what happens with that data. So once it's been curated, how is that fed back to you? How does it alter what you see online? We talk a lot about that with children. We talk about the exposure that they're giving themselves to the world. And we also talk about we try and push children out beyond the now and satisfying this need right now into, you know, like, would 25-year-old you thank you for all of this, you know, once you're into your career. So we try and hit the reason why, and we do this across all of the learning behaviours on the platform, is about what does it mean now? What does it mean in your school, in your community, and in your societal context? And what does it mean in your future context as well? So trying to really draw children into understanding beyond the need to want to participate now and going, well, like you're saying, it's kind of inconvenient. But being able to use that sort of prefrontal cortex that we want children to do around problem solving, consequential thinking, logic and reason. So we really do help children to understand it through this massive range of animations that we have on the platform, where we provoke an action and then we educate around the outcome of that action for the child, taking that multiple approach about why not and why into the future.
Do you teach them about settings so that when they start up an app that they need to go and check out the settings and what they do? How do you do that?
Right. So we do it on the platform by children learning about their own settings and about us changing the settings, like I was talking about before. So we might put a notification up, for example, that DigiSocial is now tracking their location and they're able to share that with friends. There is education about why they might not want to do that, and we ask them to go and disable that. It's not actually really true. None of that is actually really happening, but we want children to go and
again. Again, you're hoodwinking.
We want children to go and check those things often, and then there's the tutorial content that wraps around it, and then we have other education points. So we do release lesson plans for teachers that are stored on the platform, and teachers can then expand out the learning, which often, you know, ends up in them learning a lot of stuff too. So we provide them with the lesson plan and all the teaching resources should they wish to expand out that learning. So we hit those security settings in a lot of ways, actually on the platform with the child, in giving them education and in helping their teachers educate them too.
So how long has the program been running for now?
Good question. So we've been out in the broader market just this year. So last year, we were meant to go into our research trials. So my whole mantra in everything in my life is, you know, that first you do no harm. And in order to make sure that this resource, which is new, there's nothing like it in the world. It's a world first children's social media platform. And I really wanted to see what the efficacy was, what the evidence was, mm-hmm. what the behaviour change. So
That was my next question. I wanted to find out, you know, what have you learnt through this? Have kids just got frustrated in the end and said, oh, no, we don't want to play that anymore. There's too many doors. What has the outcome been like? And I think there's another question, and I know this is too many questions. One big question from a lot of parents would be, is this a bit of a gateway drug? Does it mean that kids then want to jump onto Instagram and Snapchat early?
Yeah, all right. So let me try.
Let's try the first half of the question and then I'll remind you later what the second half is.
So I think the first question was about how long has it been available. We did research trial last year, which was held up by a few months because of COVID. We then trialed the program for one term with an independent researcher. So, you know, that you're really getting that great data back. So we went through a full research trial with 1,000 children. We added another 1,000 children in the last term, which was more of a performance trial. So we rounded out the research there, and the research results were phenomenal. So we're a BU qualified 4 out of 4 evidence-based program, which is, you know, great having Australian data from this platform, which not many programs are able to offer. So now we're out and available in schools. For 2021, we're offering this into schools at no cost. So we've just got wonderful people on our board. And generous sponsorship. So we are able to offer this to any Australian school who wants to give it a go, stick your kids on and have a play. So we've got schools here, New Zealand, China, and in the UK. So we've been out just offering DigiSocial for the last 8 months, and that's how far we've got. So that's pretty exciting. And then what was the next question there?
Well, the next question, question 1B, was what were the results that you found after this particular time? Have you been able to collate those results and feedback from the schools that you have it in as far as how are they testing, you know, the efficacy of the program and what have they found?
Yes, and some of that has come from that quantitative data where we can do the measuring of how much children are accessing through the educational options, and then some of it is qualitative or anecdotal data that we've been looking at and schools feeding back to us. So we have not yet had one school say, nah, didn't like it, kids hated it. The anecdotal stuff is powerful. The evidential stuff is amazing. So even things like loneliness is one of the most significant mental health factors, not just in childhood but across the lifetime. So in this age of connectivity, we actually have people feeling more disconnected and more lonely than at any other time in human history. That's not just around the pandemic, that's just in general. Mm. And children were saying that because of everyone in their class or year group was on the platform, they were all on the messaging together, even though you can go off and do private messaging that teachers can see, that ain't so private. But children think it's private, so they behave as children do when they think they're doing private things. Gives us some really great data. Out of all of that evidence, the actual measured evidence showed huge behaviour change over those two terms in children in terms of being able to not just define something but to know what to do about it. There's no point me being able to define cyberbullying if I don't know what to do when it happens. So children are actually showing action outcomes from learning. So that was wonderful. Greater connectivity to classmates, feeling more connected to their class and community, so a lowering of loneliness. So they were really interesting. And then, you know, I know you asked about that whole putting children in this, do they get frustrated by the learning? The answer is no. You know, we've been in the market for 8 months. Some of our schools have been on for a year, so they stayed with us after the research trial. So their children have now been on for a year. And, you know, the learning continues. The feedback, great feedback continues. And it's heartwarming. As a therapist, you know, I take this stuff exceptionally seriously because I see what the outcome is when children are undereducated and under-resourced. It's gas, and it's heart-wrenching. And some of the stuff that I attend to with families in terms of, as you do, the stories that family tell you about what's happened to their children online, it bring you to your knees, Leonie. They make you just feel distressed. And yet when we see this active learning and children loving learning and engaging with technology, it makes every day for me. So, you know, I feel like it's been a positive. And then the gateway question, is this a gateway?
Ah, you remembered that third question, the gateway, because I know that that could be an issue for some parents. I know it's an issue in schools, for instance, that use educational Minecraft, with a lot of parents have concerns that once a child's introduced to that platform, that they then want it all the time and they have this sort of pester type situation going on. So how has that worked out with this platform?
Yes, it's, you know, I think we don't have this conversation in any other childhood developmental domain. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have this conversation about the skills that we need to teach children how to swim. I don't just take my two-year-old to the edge of the pool and say, well, that's the deep end and that's the shallow end. See how you go. I don't just give my child the keys to the car and say, look, you know, you filled out a worksheet and I reckon you're pretty mature. See how you go. You know, there's nothing else that we don't do skill stacking for in childhood. Nothing. Nothing that we, drugs, Sun Smart, sex education. You know, when we teach our children sex education through the upper years of primary school, we're not teaching them how to have sex. It's not a gateway to sex. It's not like saying, oh, I taught you now, go and have sex. It's for protection and prevention. And this platform is exactly the same. It's, yes, we're putting children on social media. And there is a slight irony in saying, I really wish children didn't get onto social media until the age-rated times of 13 plus, and even then some. But we know that 80% of Australian 12-year-olds already have two or more social media accounts. That horse has well and truly bolted. And even if your child doesn't participate in social media as your choice as a family, they will. And you don't want your child at 14 starting to learn about social media the hard way in an under-resourced capacity. So is it the gateway? Does it make children want to be on social media? Jury's out on that. Well, most children are on social media one way or another. Anyway, they're immersed in the world of gaming and chat. They're on apps and sharing. I would say that we kind of have to get past that conversation because we don't do it. We don't have that conversation. We don't have a gateway conversation in any other childhood domain where there's an aspect of risk or danger to our children. And we certainly shouldn't be having it about digital life. Every child has the right to be cyber educated, to be protected for what's coming next. And, you know, this is something that if your child wants to be on DigiSocial after school and they can be on Instagram, please write to me and, you know, because we need to talk, because DigiSocial is educational. There's no way if a child could be on Instagram, they'd rather be on DigiSocial, I promise. This is just allowing children the soft entry in a safe container. We're making this leaves no digital record. You can screw up as much as you like. Go for it. At the end of the year, your data's all gone. It's all finished. Doesn't matter what you've done, said, how you behaved. There's no long footprint. There's no big digital footprint. So we have to get past those scary conversations. We've got to step in and educate our kids because it's coming. Digital life is coming.
So that's an important point, Claire, about the data that the app collects from children. And you just said that it's all scrubbed. So how does that work? Does that mean that after a year that the data is all deleted automatically?
Yep. So at the end of the school year, we all of that data is gone. It doesn't even go. So if the children move from year to 5 to 6 on the platform, they go onto a new platform and they get to start again. So all of that data is depersonalised. The stuff that we need to take in terms of learning how many tutorials they've participated in, how many strikes, how many help requests, we keep the numbers, but the data is gone. And in terms of that data security, we're whitelisted as a secure platform. We don't store any identifying data. So we have pretty massive data protection for children. We've got children and we have to honour their protection. If worst case scenario, someone was able to hack DigiSocial, there's no identifying data anyway. So we're one of the whitelisted platforms in Australia.
And I imagine, Claire, that you decided that by the time children are 13 or 14, it's past the time that you could have as great an effect on them. So the year fives and sixes, because they're, there's a few of them that aren't on social media, you're going to be able to engage them at that age much more than you would, say, 13 or 14, where they think they know everything anyway.
Those 14-year-olds who know everything, they're delightful creatures, aren't they? It's much harder to influence that child because, neurologically at that point, in terms of influence and conditioning of the human brain, 0 to 6 really, mostly it's the parent who's the primary conditioner of the brain or the primary caregiver. Next 6 years, we take an equal stage with our teachers. So educators really condition how a child thinks and feels about themselves. They add the lens of life, to what the child looks through, how they see life. And then after 12, really, peers are conditioning primarily that human brain. So what peers say and do becomes very important for children. Mm. Yeah. So these years, they're formative. We can get them. They've got enough awareness. Most of them are engaged in some form of digital life. And we can just drop them into this beautiful experiential learning that keeps them safe, adds some skills, and that they can pull on any time in their future when life gets tough.
Yeah. It sounds like an amazing platform, Claire, and I wish you all the best with it. I know that some parents listening to this would be like, I want that for my child. Is there ever going to be a situation where a parent might be able to download it to educate their kids? If the school that they're at doesn't take it up, for instance, have you thought of that?
That is, on the whole long runway of things that I want to achieve, that really is right up there at the top. Because I have a lot of homeschoolers who...
Well, everybody's homeschooling over here.
No, all right, if we go back to the original concept of homeschooling, not the current pandemic homeschooling. Yes, that is definitely where we will be going. What I haven't been able to master at this point is across time zones, if a child puts in an urgent help request, I want it to be honoured. And if you're in your home, I need someone moderating that platform. At the moment, we're relying on the teacher to respond to help requests. And the AI to analyse and moderate and feedback to the child. I've just got to make sure it's really safe for every child, and I will problem solve it. I just haven't done it yet.
So, Claire, just finishing up now, and thank you so much for your time. Where can people find out more about it? How can schools get onto this? Because I'm sure there's some teachers listening to this that might be interested in finding out more.
Well, we would love to have a chat to you. So if you email hello@digionline, and digi is D-I-G-I-I, just to get a bit funky. So it's digionline.com, hello@digionline.com, or you can visit our website, which is DigiSocial. There's lots of free downloadables on there. There are lots of blogs to read, fun stuff to do with your children, whether you're a teacher or a parent. So reach out to us that way. We're very happy to give you a demo of the platform so you can see it at work, which is kind of fun, and to talk to you about, having a trial of it in your school, because really my goal and my mission in life is to see every child protected in their digital lives. It has such a fundamental impact, Leonie, on our children's mental health and well-being. I attend to a lot of high-end mental health issues around suicide, self-harm and sex abuse of children, and they break my heart. And they come in younger and they come in faster, and many of them attached to digital life. I want all of us to work together in every school where there's an internet connection, this can be available. And if we could start every young Australian in their digital life, it would make a big difference.
Yeah, I can hear the passion in your voice there, Claire, and totally agree with everything you've just said. And it's something I've certainly been hearing from a lot of people that work in the mental health space as well, how absolutely overwhelmed they are at the moment. Thank you for being our guest on Digital Families, Claire. It's been great to talk to you again. It's always lovely to catch up with you. Look, if any of these issues mentioned have raised any concerns for you, you know you can contact Beyond Blue on 1300 224 636, Lifeline on 13 11 14, or indeed the Kids Helpline. There is also a parent line for parents in Queensland on 1300 1352. And thanks again for listening to Digital Families Podcast. If you like this podcast, leave us a review or some feedback on YouTube or your favourite podcast app, wherever you're listening to us. Subscribe, share this with a friend or your school. If your children are going to school, I assume they are, share it with the school and get them to check it out. Sounds like a fantastic idea. And tune in again next time for our chat about all things digital and how it affects families. Thank you for listening.